So it's been a couple of weeks since you resigned.
Yes.
How are you feeling? What's it like?
Well, I suppose it's a sense of relief after all this. We've had 9 months of this, really. And it was a nightmare all round, really.
A nightmare for you personally as well as politically and professionally?
I just think a nightmare politically, really. I mean, I think that I'm very thick-skinned, you know. My family found it all rather distressing.
And presumably it's not the way you'd have liked your 30-year frontline political career to end. I know you're still a councillor, but you're no longer in a position of power.
I think you're over-egging it if you said I was ever in a position of power. No, we... I still have things to contribute, and I would hope to continue to do so, really.
You did have the power to make some pretty big decisions, didn't you? You know, of selling assets belonging to the council, belonging effectively to the public, things like the West Somerset Railway.
Yeah, it's always on the basis of, you know, one doesn't have executive power. One has discretion, one has the power of direction, but generally the offices of authorities like the county council make the decisions.
Let's talk about decision making then, okay. Because before you get to that point,
yep.
A lot goes on in the background, and
yes.
I suppose what this case has demonstrated is how much and how far back
some
of those conversations are going on. You know, Roger Bush approached you a couple of years probably before any of that came out in the public.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the way these things normally happen?
Well, yes. I mean, you know, people approach councillors all the time. You know, can you do this? Can you do that? Is it possible? You know, when Roger Bush first approached me, I had to pretend I knew that we owned the West Somerset Railway, which was something that some people in the county council decided not to tell me, for the obvious reason, because, you know, part of my job is to reduce the size of the county council estate and, more importantly, the liabilities and the overheads. And, you know, we should never have been, or should never be, in the railway owning business.
So when you found out it was something you owned, and he approached you with a plan, an offer, you thought, great, easy sale, let's get shot of it.
Well, it's never easy, is it? Mr Bush, bless him, said, you know, this isn't going to be easy. There's going to be a lot of people who are going to get upset about this.
Did you know Roger Bush before he got in touch with you?
No. And I never met him on his own. I always met him with officers. I always met him with fellow councillors. I could see it was a tricky situation, and I thought I'd played it straight down the line.
You probably then became aware, well, there's the association that he was representing, but also the PLC. You were happy to just have conversations with one party.
Well, I was, you know, the first thing you do is you check with the officers and you say, right, this chap has come along and made an offer. What is the situation? And then it was reported back to me that the situation was, we have a lease with the PLC. It's for another 75 years and they want us to extend it. So I said, well, that seems a bit messy, doesn't it? You know, more liabilities stretching on into the future. When the press release from the West Somerset Railway Association came out, then the PLC, you know, summoned me and David Hall to a meeting.
That was the press release you advised Roger Bush on, didn't you?
Well, that was the press release he wrote and said, what do you think about this? And I said, I think it's fine. I'd rather you didn't put down the amount of money in it, because people will always say, well, you know.
You said, remove the word substantial.
Well, whatever, yeah. I mean, it was never about the money. It was always about the liability.
But in that email to him, you also said, why don't you release it just before the PLC's AGM? It might keep them on their toes.
Absolutely.
You'd already decided that you didn't want the PLC to be, you know, getting too involved. You wanted to keep them on their toes.
Yes. I don't entirely know what I meant by that, really. I don't know what I meant by that, actually, if I'm being honest.
Can you see that the kind of language that people will go, hang on a minute, is this how a senior county councillor should be talking to one party when there are two parties interested in something?
Well, I didn't realise there were two parties interested in buying it at that stage.
The PLC then did get in touch with you, made it clear they were also interested in buying it.
Okay.
But you seemed to continue to work with Roger Bush. There were emails between the two of you ongoing.
Well,
PLC feel you rolled the red carpet out for Roger Bush.
No, well, I always saw it as a bit of a David and Goliath task. Actually, there was a bunch of volunteers who asked for my help, and there was a PLC who had staff and people running around looking after them.
They were the Goliath.
Latterly I learned it probably wasn't quite like that, and I think that if I've learned anything from the whole process is now I need to write emails like letters, which cannot be misinterpreted. I accept that what I said in the emails are subject to misinterpretation. And I think that, at the end of the day, is one of the reasons that I resigned, because the public perception is that I was favouring one side or the other. I know I wasn't. I also know I broke no rules in the code of conduct. But public perception is everything, especially at this stage in the political cycle. So did the right thing, in my view, and go back to my own job and carry on.
So you don't agree with the Standard Board's unanimous
decision? Absolutely not.
So why did you resign?
Because I was in danger of becoming a distraction. in what we as the County Council are trying to do and what is going to happen in the elections in the next couple of months.
Do you regret the way that you acted at all?
No.
You'd do it all the same again?
I would, apart from writing emails like letters. I think that's the only thing I would hold my hand up to.
But you'd make those comments quite happily in a telephone conversation?
I might reflect on different things, but I would still write the emails, but I would write them so that we could not misinterpret them.